Our first reading for this evening, our epistle reading, will come from 1 Thessalonians. We will be reading from the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and it is found on page 1079 of your pew Bibles, and we'll be reading from verses 12 through 22. Let's listen to God's word. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Luke, and we'll be reading from chapter 17. Of Luke's Gospel, verses 11 through 19, and that's found on page 957 of your pew Bibles. So here again, God's word for us, beginning with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? And the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Whenever we think of that first Thanksgiving, what we usually think of is our pilgrims. With their funny black hat sitting around the table with Native Americans enjoying the bounty of that first harvest. I think that's the picture that most of us have of that first Thanksgiving. But officially, the first Thanksgiving was not until 1863. That's when President Lincoln declared the last Thursday in the month of November to be a time of national Thanksgiving for all of the manifold blessings that God had bestowed upon the nation. And that's remarkable because many of you know that in 1863, the country was in the midst of a very bloody civil war. Over 700,000 people would lose their lives in that conflict, one of the bloodiest conflicts in modern warfare, certainly the costliest in terms of American lives. It wasn't a very good time for the Union, even though the Union had just won the victory at Gettysburg. They had lost over 8,000 people. 8,000 people were killed, 51,000 casualties, so it was a difficult time. There were also riots, draft riots in places like New York and many northern cities. People were protesting the draft, and there were many riots, also riots surrounding the fact that Lincoln had given the Emancipation Proclamation, and so many people protested that. And so it was a difficult time in the country, and also a difficult time for Lincoln personally. He had just lost his 11-year-old son, Todd, so things were weighing very heavily on the president. And yet, it was in the midst of all of that that Lincoln would come to the nation and give his proclamation, proclaiming the last Thursday in the month of November to be a national day of Thanksgiving. Someone gave me earlier a copy of that proclamation. Remember these paper cutouts that people occasionally still give them to me, and someone gave this to me. And so I wanted to read a portion of that because I think it's very relevant for us today. This is Lincoln's address, October the 3rd, 1863. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines, as well of iron and coal, as of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield, and the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow Americans in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as the day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed, done at the city of Washington, this third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1,863, and of the independence of the United States, the 88th, by the President Abraham Lincoln. So I just wanted to read that tonight to remind us, first of all, that Thanksgiving, that first Thanksgiving, was proclaimed at a time that was far from ideal. Yet the president would use the occasion not only to remind the nation of its blessings and to open the eyes of the nation to its manifold blessings, but he would also take the opportunity to invite the nation to look deeply inside of itself and to reflect upon the state of the nation's soul, and not only to discern it, but also to repent, of all the things that separate us and prevent us from living in accordance to God's will. For genuine thanksgiving is not just to acknowledge God's graciousness and mercy, but it is to offer ourselves to God and to glorify God in everything that we do. I think that's still a fitting lesson for our nation today. We've been blessed with so much, And yet oftentimes it seems what we concentrate on is not the blessing, or not the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, but all the things that seemingly go wrong in our lives and in the life of our nation. But if we remember that we are a country that has been extremely blessed by God, then we can begin to give thanks, and not only give thanks with our lips, but also to align our lives so that our individual lives and the life of our country is in alignment with the will of God. We're gathered here today, of course, not simply because we are Americans, but we are gathered here today because we are Christians. We are people who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us, Thanksgiving is not just a one day out of the year, but it's a way of life. It's a way that we are called to live our life in response to what God has done for us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are two ways that we can live out our lives, especially people of faith. One is to live our lives in accordance to a sense of duty and obligation. That's the way many people live their life, including their life of faith. They worship out of a sense of obligation. They give out of a sense of obligation. They pray out of a sense of obligation. Everything that they do is out of a sense of duty and obligation to God. And I'm not knocking that because it's terribly important. In fact, that's what nine of the lepers do in our gospel lesson. Jesus tells them to go to the priest in accordance to the law, and they do. They dutifully go to show themselves to the priest. But none of them come back. None of the nine come back to give thanks for what God has done for them in the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of them actually comes back. He turns around and he comes back to give thanks. And as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how we too are to respond to God's grace in our lives. We are people who are propelled not by duty or obligation, but we are people who are propelled by our response of joy and thanksgiving to what God has done for us. That's why we come to worship, not out of a sense of duty or obligation, but out of joy and thanksgiving. That's why we give. We give because of what God has done and given to us. That's why we pray to God, not because we are obligated to do so, but we pray to give God thanks for all that God has blessed us with. And that's why we're here this evening. We are here on this snowy day in November, not because we're obligated to be here, but we are here because we feel deep gratitude in our lives for what God has done for us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we want to express that gratitude this evening and also tomorrow as we gather together with our friends and families. So this is an opportunity for us to express that thanks. That one leper comes back and he throws himself at the feet of Jesus. He doesn't just say thank you, but he comes and he bows down at the feet of Jesus and he makes his life available to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are told that Jesus makes him whole. Jesus has already healed him. But now, in offering his life to the Lord in the spirit of joy and thanksgiving, he is made whole. And that's what a life of joy and thanksgiving does for us. It helps us to be whole. It helps us to be the whole human beings that Christ has called each and every one of us to be. So on this Thanksgiving Eve, I would just like to take the opportunity to give God thanks for all that God has done for me individually, personally. It's easy sometimes to get so busy and to concentrate on the things that don't go as well as we would like them to go that we forget that God is guiding us and leading us, and that we forget, too, all the wonderful things that go on in our lives. And so in the midst of that busyness, I just want to take the opportunity to say thank you. Thank you to all of you. Thank you to God for sustaining my life and keeping my life. Thank you for my family back in Missouri that supports me, loves me. Thank you for all the wonderful things that God has done for me in the course of this year. And so now I'd like to open up the floor for you too to express your gratitude and thanks to God.